Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Full screen here.
Brains! We going highbrow today. High fashion. We have a winner in the house. I mean, an internationally known fashion designer. Brains, she was at the Met Gala. Fashion Week, New York. Who does that? That's right. Deville Ripschlager. We're going to talk to her. I'm going to go in on fashion, okay? She thinks she got it easy. We're not going to just talk about her incredible designs and her work. We're going to talk about the struggle. We're going to talk about the challenge, the competition, how they really make money doing this, you know, and all that. Plus, I just found out she's coming to San Diego. I'm so excited. Let's welcome her to the edge, Deville Ripschlager. What is going on?
Preparations for a new Fashion Week season.
Wow.
New York Fashion Week, it's still the biggest event in US, but it is not as it used to be when it was Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. Mm. So now it's a little bit different format. There's no more the tents in the Bryant Park. There, you know, the shows are scattered. It's like if you look, you would see like a gazillion of art fashion week, dogs fashion week, you know, you just wow. Name it. It's splintered into
disintegrated. Well, you know, COVID had a big impact on that, because now people's money is funny, you know, so they can't travel. That was a lot of it. And, you know, to do these shows, but to produce these high-end pieces. I have so many questions for you. I've made a list. Let's go back. Let's start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about how fashion found you.
I think I was born with something, you know, fashion gene or something. Mm. It was the earliest memories I remember myself, the very, very early. I then checked out with my mom, so I was no older than like 18 months.
Wow.
So my first memory. And I was admiring the dotted pattern on my uncle's slipper.
Mm. Wow. And then where did it go from there?
And that didn't go from there. I'm just started admiring patterns like everywhere, like my fingers, the shadows make. Then, you know, as soon as I grabbed something into my hand, but, you know, I have to say, this is not unique to me, because all children are creative.
Every individual in a different genre, maybe, but we all have creativity.
Yeah, I met people, they were like, oh, you're so creative. I'm not. I'm just like, stop right there. Just go back and find when your creativity was killed.
Mm.
So mine, I never let it happen. I am the only child, and I had a lot of time with myself.
I know. Did you talk to yourself and have an invisible friend? I did.
I think I did. I don't remember that, but I was always creating the stories. So, you know, I had those sketch pads, and I could fill one pad in one day, because, you know, if I saw that some shape is not, you know, the dress is not quite there, you know, so I would redraw it. And perfect and perfect and perfect.
So tell us where you grew up. Where were you born?
I was born in Kaunas, Lithuania. So it's a small country, but it's a big city in a small country. So I'm very in tune with say the city vibes. I love New York. I feel like home when I go there. I love Chicago a little bit less than slightly less energy in there, but you know.
Oh, well, honey, you're coming to San Diego. You about to be decompressed because it is mellow here. You're going to love it. It's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm torn. I want to have, like, you know, the cottage in the middle of the forest. And also, I need the city vibe. So, you know, go figure it out.
Well, you know, again, you have to balance, because in that downtime is really when your creativity is sparked. You know, you have to reset. Let's talk a little bit about your design. And what is the emphasis? Bring something close to the camera so I can see it. Is it a bubble? I'm not really sure of what that textiling is. That is your signature.
It's bubble.
So let me see the bubbles.
Yeah. See?
Okay, now let me try to feel it with my mind. Is that made out of a fabric? Is it made out of a mesh? Okay, I see something looks like a mesh.
No, it's made of the fabric, and then it has to be very, very specific fabric.
Oh, really?
So I did quite of the experiments. When I get the idea, I just say I had to experiment. And see, I have education in chemical engineering of textile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had to, when I got the idea what I want to do, and I knew, you know, so I had to research which fabric, because even when synthetic fabric, it's the whole group, but it's a different, you know. Mm-hmm. Like polyester, nylon, and all that, you know, so it's only polyester, but then not all polyesters go. It's kind of, it's a little bit of science that creates the art.
Okay, exactly. So science and art meet each other. And that's what fashion and fashion shows are. I've been to many, baby, and they be over the top. But in actuality, when it comes to dollars and cents, the things that you create for the runway are not things that are people are going to shop unless they have a private collection or real high end. How do people really make money in this industry if you're starting out? It's so competitive. It's like art or music. It's so subjective. You know, everybody's not going to be your client or your customer. No. A lot of times these fashion designers are dressing these celebrities to draw attraction to them, but they're being used and abused. What is going on, girl? Tell us.
Okay, so first of all, whoever wants to start a fashion business, don't expect, it's not a get rich quick. It's, first of all, a lot of investment at the beginning, and only I have my business as a business, because I returned to the fashion in 2016, and for a while, you know, I had client here and there, you know, I was doing more, you know, bespoken pieces, which is okay, but I want to, you know, sell my fashion. And it took me like almost two years to get somebody to buy what I designed from the rack.
Wow.
So it wasn't easy. Now I know my client, and in that group of the clients, it's not very hard, you know, people asking for my pieces.
Okay. All right.
But so, you have to, when you design, you don't design for everybody. Like first when I started, oh, clothes, yeah, Chicago, too much gray. Let's, you know, put the colors in the people and like,
You say, pump your brakes.
Yeah, like, stop over there, you know, what people want.
Right.
You cannot, you know, just decide, oh my God, it's so not fashionable. Let's dress up that city. No, it's not going to happen. Mm-mm. Because it goes with the culture, with everything. It's like,
absolutely.
I could put, you know, my clothes in every, actually they were last year in a display in Chicago downtown. And people were enjoying it, you know, thinking, you know, and going, oh my God, it's yours. Oh,
I know.
I love going by every day, you know. But, you know, I lifted their mood, but they're not my clients.
Right. But you never know, because sometimes you just see one big fish, they'll tell somebody, they'll wear it, they'll market it. You never know where the blessing is going to come from. And this has really been a blessing for you. But, you know, let's talk about body image.
Yeah.
Now, I keep it 100. I'm full figured. You're full figured.
Yes.
But your models aren't that full figured. You got a lot of diversity that you request and different looks and all that. What is that like in the fashion world now? Because I'm telling you, them poor girls, I know. So I knew some ballerinas, some models, and some spokeswomen, and they don't eat. They don't, I mean, you know, the body has to be so thin. Are they lightening up on that now?
Yes, it's still, especially when I look, you know, what they are putting into European or Asian magazines, is still, you know, size zero or minus one. I don't know.
Right.
And that was bothering me a lot. And not because I am a full figure woman, but it's just, what is majority? How many, like when you go on the street, you know, how actually many you will see, like doubles, double zeros, and how many you will see size 12.
If you do, you judge them, you think they're a drug addict or something, you wouldn't think they were a supermodel.
Yeah, and then the models, it's like, you know, it's never ending. It's never ending because the models, they get their share of critique because they are too thin. You know, the plus size they get, it's like you never win. And I'm like, just stop right now, because everyone is unique and everybody has their own. So my goal as a designer, make you look, not transform you, not make you go into whatever, you know, camp or diet and like, okay, when you are size two, I will design something for you. It's like, it's not going to work like that. And it's not kind to somebody. And I grew up with a body image.
It's unrealistic, though. It's unrealistic.
Absolutely unrealistic.
And so that, what that does for you as a designer, it shows you as less than authentic, because you're making it as a work of art.
Yeah.
You know, diversification. But you've got to show the product and you've got to show it to people in a streamlined way, because the bottom line is dollars and cents. You do want to make money. I mean, you're not doing this just for shit and giggles.
No, I want to make money. And like in New York Fashion Week, I had a problem. I made my clothes a little bit bigger because I wanted to have like tall and, you know.
Right. Maybe like some plus and some booty.
Yes. The woman who actually is a woman and has the curves and everything. And I get the from the agency. It's hard because I had to do everything virtual. And virtual, when you look, you know, the numbers, the girl, it seems like okay.
Right.
But then you see the person and it's like, oh my God. Oh. Thank God for safety pins, because they have to know redesign.
And you know what? It is what it is. But it was a learning opportunity. It was a great experience for you. So let's talk about sustainability. You have a chemical engineering degree in textiles.
Yeah.
You know, I hear that clothing is one of the biggest pieces of trash outside the ocean. I have another interview with another guest of mine who's a fashion designer, but she repurposes clothes. I used to do that when I was a kid. You know, I'd have a pair of jeans and I'd cut off the bottom and make it a purse or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're talking about renewable, sustainable fabrics. Now, you have very high-end pieces. I don't see anybody recycling that. They might resell it, but they're not going to recycle it.
No.
But let's talk about in those environments and the sweatshops, you know, because that's still going on, honey.
Yeah.
Still going on.
Yeah. So as a chemical engineering, and I worked for 3 years in a big factory producing fabric. It's a paper industry and textile. They use the most of water, and it's the most of water pollutant. those two. And say, okay, like recycling. I can't put like this one because it's synthetic. It's kind of, you know, in a family with a plastic. So, okay, I can just send it to remold, remake, you know. And the thing is, though, that that process also produces pollution.
Right, because you got to break it down.
So, yeah, so recycling, you know, when I didn't look into that, recycling looked for me like, you know, panacea to every, you know, war we have about the pollution.
Right.
Yeah, but then, you know, I'm like, one, they're not recycling everything what we gave for recycling. Second, it's also a dirty process. And like, so where is exactly how to find?
Well, where's the balance like, there? But it's not.
Yeah, where's the balance? I don't even know how to make like total sustainable in the fashion.
Well, you can't. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of hemp and bamboo. I have some bamboo sheets, baby. Oh, Lord, the longer you wash them, the better they get. But it's a lot to break down the bamboo to make it pliable, to make it into a fabric. Now, hemp, there's it costs about 20% less to grow hemp than it does cotton. And hemp is very luxurious as well. But you can't make everything out of that. Are they still making things out of leather and mink? You know, I mean, I know you're not, but are they doing that? Because, you know, PETA was going off on those people. Are they still doing fur?
You know, yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And PETA, you know, PETA, I have issues with PETA over there. Mm. Because as long as people are going to eat meat, they're going to be a hide. It's going to be over there. Unless all of us just go vegetarian, which I'm trying. It's really hard.
I know, it's tough.
So, you know, and you are not hurting the process itself. Like the vegan leather or, you know, that synthetic. It's the same process as plastic. It's dirty. It's dirtier than the natural hide. So,
and you know what? People get, this is another thing that gets me. It's not like it used to be. And you've been hearing it in the news. All of these smash and goes. They're breaking into these high-end department stores. They're smashing. They're taking all of them. You're taking purses. You're taking wallets. You're taking stuff. It doesn't make, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And the knockoff market there in New York is crazy. I know when I came to New York, I went to get me something at what was I at? I think I went to the Louis Vuitton store and they selling bootleg Louis Vuitton right outside the door. It's so disrespectful, girl. It was hilarious. So it's hard to make a buck in this industry, but you have to have a person that is a collector of your wares. They understand your philosophy, your energy. So again, Brains, know that this is not a get rich quick kind of thing.
No.
Where do you get inspiration from for your designs? Not just the fabric, but, you know, the lengths, the skirts, the shirts. Where does that come from?
When you turn that, you know, creative mind of yours, then it just hits. You have to just watch for that, you know. I'm like watching the movie and there was like 0.5 seconds of, you know, the shape of Black X. And I got an idea and I did a loungewear just based on that. Wow. Then my last collection, I looked at up close photos of, you know, small creatures, the bugs, the you know, some sea life. Even, you know, the bacteria, and they were so fascinatingly beautiful. I'm like, I'm not a fan of moths, especially the big ones. It's the one phobia from the childhood. But then when I looked, you know, the quality of the pictures and the right to light, I'm just like, oh my God, they're so beautiful. I can't. Wow. I love brains.
That is crazy. Okay, so let me ask you some fun questions. If you weren't doing fashion and chemical engineering, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't doing painting, actually before chemical engineering, all my family wanted me to be a doctor, and I was really good with biology, anatomy, all that.
Okay, so, all right.
So I might, but most likely I would be a sculptor or a painter, something with the art.
Right. You'd always have that art size. What planet are you always from?
What planet?
Yeah.
Kind of was thinking that I'm probably from the Saturn.
Saturn?
Yeah, I think.
I'm from Pluto. I'd be way out and shit.
Yeah.
Ooh. What brings you the greatest joy?
Well, there's when I get an idea, when I clarify, and if the final product is as close as possible. You know, sometimes the final, it's nothing like, you know, those videos nailed it. So sometimes, you know, my idea and what came out of it.
Absolutely.
More comes to that nailed it category. But sometimes it gets like, I really nailed it. Like it really looks as close as possible to my vision. That's a pure joy.
Yeah.
And then another one, you know, when, you know, the client comes and buys, you know, my wear piece, puts it on, and they're just like, light up. Oh my God. Yes, that's the moment of joy.
That's so important, because you've got to find joy in your work, and it has to be external. You know, people always, you know, you can pat yourself on the back and you have to do that. But when it comes from appreciation from outside, it just seems to be magnified.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
I am leaning towards the cat, but one of the big cats. I absolutely love cheetahs.
Do you?
I absolutely, those are my like favorite. I like lions, and especially the cloud ones, the small, but no, cheetah is something.
Yeah.
Because it's the perfect, like perfect shape. When I look, it's not the pattern, like everything in that animal is like, she's like a high fashion cat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be a bird. Maybe an eagle or a hawk. I like to.
Yeah.
You know, I got a wingspan, and I just kind of want to fly over and just kind of take it easy. Yeah. Swoop down, get my prey, eat it, and get away.
Yeah.
Don't want to hang around too much. What would you tell a 25-year-old DeVille?
25. I would tell girl, just buckle up, because you're going to go places, and don't pay attention to what other people just listen to yourself. You are smarter, you are more intelligent, you are more creative, you're more beautiful than you think you are, and you know, go from there.
Wow.
Because the world is yours.
Absolutely. And you brought up something interesting. How do you handle criticism? Because, you know, this is me. And I'm just speaking for me. Sometimes it's valuable. It just depends on how it comes. If people are screaming and hollering all in your face and cussing, I just tune you out. But if you come with something that I could possibly improve on, right now, everyone is so tender. They go from a damn flicker to a flame. They just, you know, just pop off all the time. You know, how do you stay calm and accept, you know, your client may not like it. She may hate the whole line, you know, because I was watching that Lifetime movie with Halston. Ooh, that is a brutal industry that you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cutthroat. But yeah. You know, how do you handle criticism?
Before actually the COVID, that period, that when everything stopped, led me to do a lot of work with myself. I did a lot of classes, coaching and everything, looking internally, because before I would like shrivel and cry and, you know, downplay myself to the zero. And then I have to like rebuild, and it's just like, this is not healthy and it's not, you know. So like you said, it depends how that criticism is delivered. If somebody just yells at me without no valuable input, you know, just everything, I hate everything, I hate colors, I hate shape, I hate that, you know, it's crap. I can't take anything from that.
Right.
So I tune that out, because it's going to be stress me without any reason.
Right.
But, you know, if somebody comes and, you know what, I really like, you know, the red, but that yellow come up, you know, or, you know, this, you know, why those skirts are this length, you know, it's bad length, go, you know, lower on higher.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
Fine. You know, look at those, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm doing everything and I'm learning in the process. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, look, you know, your pattern is wrong for the sleeve. Okay, fine. Fine.
Are you continuing your education? Are you continue to take classes in design, not only? And do you have like a great mentor?
I have a mentor in fashion. I have a mentor in my inner dealings, and I had a mentor in business, because I'm not well versed in business. I have chemical engineering and, you know, fine art education. I don't have anything with business. And this is business.
Well, it's a different type of business. You know how to close different. A deal and sign your own check and how to say no. That's business.
Yeah.
You do. Well, I'm so proud of you, of all of your accomplishments. It looks like during COVID, you really were able to thrive. You know, when you came back strong, you've done 2 or 3 shows. Again, you were at the Met Gala, you were at the Fashion Week in New York. You're bubbling all over, and I'm just so glad to have you here, DeVille. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Brains, the best way to get in contact with me, it's send me an email. Or follow me on Instagram. It's 2. Actually, Instagram is the best way because it has all my info over there. So my handle is Dovi Art Fashion.
Okay. Dovi Art Fashion.
Dovi Art dot Fashion. That's it.
Okay. All right.
So it's my label. So I try to keep everything everywhere consistent, so it's easy to find me.
Absolutely. Because consistency is what we have here on The Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed in your face. The responses are never dull. We got winners over here in the fashion industry. Brains, go in, take a look, do a virtual shopping spree. Maybe you can ask her some great questions. Maybe your size, maybe your colors, maybe what's going on in the season, maybe what's good in accessories. You know, again, that's going to spark her creativity as well. I need you to like, love, share all of the interviews. Sign up. You know, the algorithms is getting funky, and I need your support. I need you to help me bring great people like that juice ball right there. right here to San Diego. Thank you so much, DeVille. And we will talk, girl. I'm going to follow back up, Brains, and let you know, because she's coming to San Diego. She don't know. We're about to put it down for the underground.
Yeah.
Bye, Brains.
Bye.